the Those Two Girls Catch Up.
Ting, ting. Walla, walla, bing, bang.
Oh, my God. When Aaron gets in this...
Welcome.
Why are you singing Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
I don't think it's Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
It is, isn't it, Sarah?
Ooh wee, ooh ah, walla walla bing bang bing bing.
I'm familiar with it from from the Rugrats movie. No?
Yeah, I can play the Rugrats on the piano.
Well, that's a cool story, Hansel, but we don't have a piano here.
What does Hansel mean?
Have you ever seen?
Don't you know that?
You know what?
Sugar, what's the movie?
It's Zoolander.
Go to the show. We'll come back and talk all things Rugrats and Zoolander.
Hold on, I'm going to pull up the graphic.
Those Two Girls.
Morning.
Good morning, everyone. Happy hump day to you. And boy, do I have a hump story. Okay, so yesterday afternoon, as Sarah and I were having lunch together, and as we were walking to from the lunch place,
still so embarrassed.
As we were walking to and from the lunch place, we happened to walk past a hotel pool, a very lovely establishment with one of these beautiful resort-style pools, right? And on a Lilo, on one of those sunbeds, was... I couldn't see her face, but I'm assuming she was a young woman.
Yes.
But all I saw was a bottom, okay?
What and
she was wearing
there?
She was wearing those kind of French bikini bottoms.
But they weren't overly revealing. They were just bikini bottoms. She was totally fine. And I said to you, Sarah, geez, that's a nice bum.
Yeah.
I wish my bum was like
and
that.
And I couldn't see because I didn't have my glasses on. So I put my glasses on and I walked closer. And I peered down through the glass over the fence and I said, it is a really nice
it's
bottom.
It's shapely and it's
and
perched.
We were using our hand gestures to
really
do sort of the shape of the this lovely girl's bottom. And then we didn't see a couple of old people who were also sitting by the pool who were obviously watching us and they just fixed us with the most shocked kind of facial expression.
Well, we got busted gawking, but you know, women can do that. You can appreciate a nice derriere.
You can.
And that was a nice bottom, wasn't it? It was nice and brown.
Oh, it was pert.
It was perfect.
I feel like stop.
This is too much for me.
Oh,
I know. Aaron can't say anything here. We've left him out in the cold.
Something absolutely mortifying yet fabulous happened to me a couple of days ago and I can't decide which is it. I'm going to need your help, Sarah, deciphering it.
Mm.
So obviously with this job we have to wake up very, very early and leave our families and our homes.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband, being a fire...
I mean, it's a sad tale, but this is our life.
But we leave kind of in the middle of the night, it feels. You know, we leave very, very early and our children are asleep. And because my husband's also a shift worker, when he's on night shift, I have to call in a babysitter. A local lass that lives around the corner. We love her to death. And she pulls up as I'm departing and she plonks herself on the couch and waits until the boys awake and then she helps them get them ready for school.
Yeah.
She's only there till 7, then they get on the school bus. It's a good situation. Well, this particular morning, I awoke from a bizarre dream early and I thought, whatever, I'm just going to go to work 5 minutes earlier. And...
Assuming that the babysitter would be arriving 5 minutes
later. Yes, because she's so reliable, Sarah. She's so reliable, and this is where I made a poor judgment call because I left before seeing her car.
Oh. Why do I feel like this does not end well?
I got a call that morning. We were off air. It was about 6:45. I think we must have been having brekkie or whatever, boring Aaron with more stories of our lives. And it was my son, Remy, who's 10. And he said, hey, Mum, Sally's not here this morning. We're here by ourselves. And I just went, I'm sorry, what? Nanny, no show, guys. My two babies were alone in that house. I mean, look, they're 10 and 6, they're fine. But alone.
For 2.25 hours.
For 2.25 hours. So I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to react too harsh. I didn't want to be alarmed, because if you're an alarmist type parent, your children, then they become softies, you see. No good for them. You've got to tell them off.
Parenting advice 101 from Lee's.
I didn't react. I was like, okay, geez. She's like, Remy said, we thought she was downstairs asleep on the couch and that she hadn't woken, but I've walked up and down and through the house and there's nobody here. And I said, all right, well, how are you guys? How are you? Is everything okay? And he was like, I mean, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. He was like, oh, my God, we're totally fine. We're dressed. We're ready. I've fed Maxie. We're in our uniforms. I've packed the bags and we're off to get the school bus. No time to chat. Ta-ta. And off he trotted. So part of me feels absolutely mortified that my children were left alone in a house because of me.
Yes, that's true.
The other part of me is like...
You did fail them, that's correct.
The other part of me is, have I not failed by raising such resilient and independent children, Sarah?
Can I
save myself a lot of money?
Well, do you even need a nanny? Save yourself $80 in a morning, much you pay.
What if I just got a parrot?
What?
Like
to
one
say,
of those
get
parrots,
up and go.
Yeah. The parrot, and I trained the parrot to say, time for breakfast. Get on your sports uniform. Today is swimming.
What?
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
Yesterday I had 2 hours to myself before I picked the children up from school. And I thought, ooh-wee, I'm going to take myself somewhere new and I'm going to have a bit of an under the Tuscan sun kind of adventure. So I took myself off to – that's a movie about
a
woman who travels
on
her own.
Isn't it, Sarah?
Okay, so I thought, right,
You know, that movie made me excited to be in my 40s.
Diane Lane.
Oh, Diane Lane.
About 10 years ago.
Aaron,
don't do the gun fingers
don't
at us
do,
when you
don't
do that.
Don't gun finger. Do not.
That wasn't a good call, but that was a great movie. So I just thought, right, here I am, a woman of the world. I'm going to take myself off to an Italian cafe and have some lunch, right? So I chose a beautiful one, right? I was sitting there in my dress. It was flowing. There was a slight breeze. I looked up. There was bougainvillea above me, slowly, slowly waving. There were birds chirping, and I thought, yes. Yes, here I am.
Under the suburban.
In an Italian cafe near a busy road.
In a Westfield.
In this beautiful food court. So I thought, right, I'm feeling so virtuous and grown up, I'm going to order myself a green salad.
Why?
So as I sat there...
Sarah, you don't like salad.
You don't make friends with salad. Everyone knows that, but I thought it's a
new
me.
You were in the mood.
I was in the mood. And as I sat there drinking my skim flat white, sipping it, the waitress came over and presented me with a green salad.
That
and
you'd
I felt so fancy. And then I looked at this green salad, right? Now, I swear to God, it was full of broccoli and beans that were about a foot long and kale. Kale coming out the wazoo, raw kale. Now, here's the thing.
It's a cruciferous vegetable.
Unless you're a giraffe or you've got molars like a bovine, kale is not something to be eaten in public. So as I was having my under the Tuscan sun alone time moment, I took one mouthful. I had a bean coming out my mouth trying to break it off. Then I thought, I'll push. I literally had to use my hands to push it into my mouth. Then I tried the kale. Now it takes approximately 57 chews to swallow one single piece of kale, right? This carried on for 15 minutes trying to make my way through this bastard of a green salad. And I left it on my plate. And the waitress came over and said, a little too much kale for you, was it? And I said, yes, yes it was. Take that off your menu. We're done with kale. It's 2019. Okay.
Pretty harsh.
I was laughing and she said she agrees because it's such hard work.
Diane Lane would never have insulted a waitress like that. Ever,
Look,
Sarah.
All I'm saying is I'm done with kale.
It's a little less kale, a little bit more fish and chips, which is really what you wanted to order.
It is what
but
I
a
want.
Lady under the Tuscan sun doesn't order fish and chips.
I'm back to my old way.
A remarkable story out of my old hometown, New York.
You lived there for 3 years.
Yeah, well, Sarah, So it was. I lived there for 3 years. Deal with it. It was my hometown. But this story is incredible.
Your hometown was Nambour in Queensland. That's your hometown. Stop trying to make New York happen for you.
True.
It did happen for me, though, didn't it? Oh. It did. Okay, guys, get your heads around this story. There's a very, very, very popular type of designer cake in New York. Okay, I know it's hard to conceive of a cake being so designer-ish, but basically,
it's clearly not in the Woolies, Coles, Mud Cake hack group that I'm in on Facebook.
No, it's actually very, very, very expensive. And basically, what it is the thinnest, most decadent crepe. Do you know what a crepe is? It's like a French pancake.
We're not idiots. Okay?
Well, I don't know. I'm just have to educate you a lot, so I figured you needed to know what crepe was. So imagine hundreds of paper-thin crepes stacked together into an amazing cake.
Sounds dry.
It's not dry, Sarah. It's a designer cake.
Sounds and this dry and tedious.
It really
nothing
does.
I can't this, get pre-made from Coles.
This particular patisserie.
And ice it into something fancy.
I bet I could get that from Aldi.
And I don't need to go to New York for that.
Can I tell you my story? This particular patisserie in New York, Sarah, these cakes are on order everywhere.
True.
Now, get this. One of their delivery drivers has cottoned on to the popularity of this crepe cake, and he has smuggled.
He thought, crap, I've got to get me some of that crepe.
He has smuggled 1,020 cakes. And he has sold them onto a cake black market. And do you know how much he has made?
He's a smooth criminal.
A smooth what? Criminal. Do you know how much he's made? Aaron, how much has he made? Do you know?
A guess lot it. Of money.
How much?
Yeah, guess it. I bet you can't guess it.
200,000.
Oh, whatever.
Oh, God, you've got too much. Lower it, Aaron. Lower it.
You idiot.
180.
No,
no way. Lower.
175.
This is like the crepe price
I should
is
never
right.
Have asked.
How much did he make from selling 1,000 crepes?
$90,000 on a cake black market. Who knew there was a cake black market to begin with?
I know there's a cake black market. I'm telling you, you've got to get into this Woolies, Coles, Mud Cake Hacks Facebook group. You can't even talk about the cakes you see in there, okay? It's like a secret. They will ban you from the group if you talk about
the cakes. I don't
want
to be in that group. Never invite
there's
me
no
to that
crepe
group.
Cakes in that.
Wow.
They're all amazing.
Those two girls.
I've got a list here of five famous children's toys that have very weird adult origins. I was gonna say origins then. But I meant to say origins.
Origins.
Thank you. Thank
okay.
you.
So okay, let's start.
So these are things that were total mistakes.
Yeah, I get it. They're
we're
children's
not-
toys. I get it. So start with the first one.
Well, you'll like this first one because it was from a French electrician who was working at a factory that made a particular wall covering that was heavily embossed, right? One day he was peeling it off to put in a new light switch and he used a pencil to make marks on the wall, realised these little particles moved, raced home and made the world's first Etch-a-Sketch.
Oh, wow. That's a French invention. That makes perfect sense.
It actually is, yes. He finessed it, took it to an international toy fair in Nuremberg and became one of the first toys to be advertised on TV. So
why wasn't
go.
It called a French-a-sketch then?
What?
That worked in my head and no, I should never
yes,
have said it.
You shouldn't
it.
Have. No. Silly Putty was actually made to be a solution to wartime rubbish shortages. Okay. There you go. I'll move on quickly because that one's not as exciting as Pez dispensers, which were created to help people quit smoking.
So what came out of them?
Well, they were meant to...
Were
like,
they lollies?
Yes. Oh, God. You're.
Did it have Donald Duck
this
on the top?
This whole thing sounded better in my head than it's coming out as. Okay. Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Yes.
Remember them?
Love
they came into being because there was a broke songwriter who was playing with a cassette player and somehow he came up with Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Because it was on fast forward or something and the voice sounded like...
Sounded wonky, but finally this is my favourite one. Silly String was developed as a medical tool.
Ooh. Can you talk?
No, I actually can't.
A medical tool.
It's been a long hour and I'm exhausted.
A medical tool for
Silly
what?
String was originally intended to be a medical device that two doctors were working on a way to apply casts. So for people who'd broken their bones. And they thought, if only we can spray it out of an aerosol can directly onto a broken limb.
Yes.
And after trying several nozzles, they found one that sprayed 30 feet.
Yes.
But it didn't actually create a car, like a you know, a thing that could harden. But they realised it would be a fantastic practical joke, and that's how Silly String came into being.
That's cool.
Yes, isn't it cool?
Cool story, Hansel.
We are back tomorrow from 5.
This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up.
Train going in the middle of the forest.
Just go with it.
Some giant baby lost in his choo-choo.
Fast forward a little bit.
Big bang.
You want to learn something that I can teach to you. You want to know a secret that I swear is true.
Welcome back to the podcast.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
When did that movie come out? Rugrats.
That was right in my alley. Let me check.
Yeah, you would.
If Aaron was a Rugrats character, you'd 100% be Chucky.
No, that's was Scotty. Scotty was Chucky.
Came out in 88, so I would have been 2.
Oh my god. How annoying.
Why?
It just reminds me how much... Hold on, no, 88.
98.
Oh, I was going to say, you're way... Yeah.
Do you remember The Ferrells? Did you ever watch that on TV?
No,
where there was
too young.
Rattus and Medigliana. Oh,
I've never even heard of The Ferrells.
And Dingo.
Yeah.
And the rabbit was called Mixie for Mixomatosis.
Yes, Mixomatosis. Listen to this.
Listening.
Hold on, there might be an ad.
Less high quality than my little...
I'm heading down Mount Vesuvius when suddenly I slip. And I start to fall. And I mean, I'm about to die. Hot bread, Zeke. Just falling. I'll never forget the terror. And suddenly I remember, holy shit, Hansel, haven't you been smoking peyote for 6 straight days? And couldn't some of this maybe be in your mind? And it was. I was totally fine. I've never even been to Mount Vesuvius.
This is not
cool
good.
Cool story, Hansel.
Cool story, Hansel.
Cool story, Hansel.
So that's what you say. If anyone is ever like just jabbering on about stuff you don't want to hear,
with
you,
no
just,
point.
You just shut it down. Cool story, Hansel.
I would be dropping that so many times.
I know. Now we've given him this ammunition and I regret it.
We've unleashed a monster.
Well, that was the show.
Cool story, Hansel.
Well done.
Oh,
are we still going, are we?
Oh, no. Well, we haven't said goodbye yet.
Oh, bye.
Not yet. Yeah. Lisa's currently headbutting the studio microphone. That's unfortunate.
She's getting hungry.
I've had a long week and it's only Wednesday.
Wednesday morning, too. It doesn't even count as Wednesday yet.
Oh, my God. I know.
You know what's funny? Some mornings Aaron is busting a gut to get
back in.
Like Aaron's busting a gut. You go back to some podcast and Aaron's just like, see ya. We don't even get a chance to speak. Now the days and we're like, okay, we're done. And you've got a case of the sillies.
Yesterday morning, everyone listening to the podcast, you'll have noticed yesterday's podcast came up quite late. I had an all-day meeting yesterday. It was very important. Very important. I had to run straight out of the show.
You're so important.
That's because Aaron wears about 17 different hats in this network.
Yeah,
17 hats.
But the most important one is...
the early breakfast hat.
Mm-hmm.
Cool story, Hansel. See you tomorrow.
Bye.
Tickety-boo. Off she goes home. That's it for today's Those Two Girls Catch-Up. But you can score even more catch-ups just like this one. Download the Hit app and keep up with the girls on Facebook and Instagram.